The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, information that you can use to support your immune system and avoid a lot of the pitfalls that might be lurking out there, those pitfalls that are something to undermine your immune system. And they are everywhere. And what we're talking about here on Natural Doc Radio are all of the different approaches that you can use to be certain that you are getting all of the nutrients that you need and your body chemistry is balanced in very much the way that you need to support every function of your body. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
It was a very long introduction.
I was listening to every word you said.
Yes, I'm sure you were.
I want to talk a little bit about Zika again. I know everybody's by now heard of it, but what stands out from everything I hear all the so-called experts on television talk about, the experts from the Center for Disease Control and how people should be concerned about it. So I said, okay, wouldn't it be a good idea if then we could test people for Zika virus?
Okay, so what's involved in testing for a virus? And when you test for a virus, my view of it would be you're kind of testing your body's immune response to a virus. How do you identify the virus?
I think the usual way of testing for a virus is looking for antibodies.
Right.
And the antibodies, according to the information, is it shows up in a couple of days. And usually by the time you get tested, you're over the illness, you know, according to their own statistics. But the real question is, who's really being tested for it? Because if you went to your doctor and said, "Doc, you know, I had this fever and rash, maybe I have Zika. Who knows who I've been exposed to or what I've been exposed to?" And the doctor would say, "Well, you know, Quest and LabCorp don't have a test for Zika virus."
Wow, they don't?
No, so I'd like to, you know, so where are people getting tested, number one, and where is all this information coming from?
How?
I mean, did we send an army of lab workers down to Brazil to test all these people? You know, Zika virus, according to the reports, is endemic in that area of Brazil where the mosquito is, meaning that most people have been exposed to it.
I'm going to jump in here and say, and has been endemic in that area of Brazil for years?
Well, several years. They say it came to Brazil a couple years ago. I think it was 2014 when they had the World Cup soccer tournament there. It was brought over from Africa. But there are other viruses like it, like dengue fever and chikungunya. There are a lot of similarities there as far as transmission goes. So what I've been able to find out is if you want to be tested for Zika virus, you need to go to the Board of Health, but you have to meet certain criteria. You have to have a fever, a rash, and have been out of the and conjunctivitis and have been traveled out of the country to those areas where the virus is known to exist. If you have a fever, a rash, and conjunctivitis in this country, they won't test you. So I just like to know how they're drawing these connections between the Zika virus and microcephaly, because in order to draw that connection, you would have to test every woman that's been pregnant. You see, it's not just enough to test the women who have babies with microcephaly. You'd have to test all the pregnant women, because there could be a lot of women having babies that don't have microcephaly that might test positive for Zika virus. So it's kind of interesting how they know all this information, and in my estimation, without all, knowing all the facts.
Dr. Slavin, is it possible to test positive, to have antibodies to the Zika virus and have never exhibited any of the symptoms?
Absolutely. In fact, 80% of the time, someone who's been exposed to it will not have symptoms. So I'm just saying there's a lot of hype around here. And then the thinking is, why all the hype? Because they're asking for $2 billion from the government to look into this. So, I mean, that's to me is a good enough reason to make up stuff, because we see the government and the scientists making up stuff all the time. So just my thought. Now, in the same category,
I have to say, I think that probably at some point during the show, you're going to have to back up that statement that we see the government and scientists making up stuff all the time. I'm just saying, just be prepared, because I'm going to come back at you for that statement.
All right. Just to go back a few years, West Nile virus, bird flu. I mean, we were supposed to have these massive epidemics of these viruses, even Ebola. Nothing's ever come of it, except a lot of money was spent, or a lot of money was given to the agencies. Now, the agencies, remember, we said they're not governmental agencies, they're private agencies.
Oh, might they be pharmaceutical companies?
Might they be?
Might they be? Might they be hospital corporations? It's very, very interesting, because on the news this morning, Dr. Slavin, they were talking about the Zika virus, and they were saying that they're expecting maybe 10 to 20 people to exhibit the symptoms. Now, I don't know whether that was a local news reporter and she's talking about Florida, or whether they're expecting many, many, many more cases.
In other words, they didn't say in the hundreds and or in the thousands. They said in the scores.
Right.
Which means multiples of 10.
Right.
So,
And so $2 billion for multiples of 10 potential individuals.
And you asked me about when I say the government disseminates misinformation. What about the flu every year? I mean, come on. So, but I, on a similar note, though, then I was thinking about it. All right, so they're running to make a vaccine against Zika. And I wondered why. And I asked my daughter, who's a veterinarian, the same question. I said, how come after all these years, they don't have a vaccine against AIDS or HIV? Just an observation. Or how come they don't have a human vaccine against Lyme disease? You know, they have it for animals. They have it for dogs, a Lyme vaccine, which my daughter says works good. Not that I'm a fan of vaccines, but I'm just wondering, how come so selective that... AIDS or Lyme, people with a lot more people infected with those viruses and bacterial infections, no vaccine. And I'm trying to think of the reason, and maybe is it too late to make a vaccine because the scrutiny would be too good? The science is too good now that they couldn't get away with convincing people that the vaccines work?
Just a thought.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought. Why? Last week we spoke about the reasons why people get admitted to the hospital.
Just before we go on to that, Dr. Slavin, the Zika virus might people, might they quarantine people with regard to Zika? Say you're feeling really sick, your rash is terrible, your fever is high, the conjunctivitis is horrible, and you go to the emergency room. What's the response going
to
be?
You're usually not even sick enough to go to the hospital. Right. But I have another question, and maybe you have an answer or not, because I'm not sure I have an answer. How do they prove that it's sexually transmitted? How do they know that, how do they know that maybe both partners weren't bit by the same mosquito?
We may never know the answer to that question, as is the case with so many of the questions that we raise here on Natural Doc Radio. Very, very often, it's a mystery. We don't necessarily have the answers.
The way you would do that, of course, is you would have to start off with one partner knowingly having the disease, the other partner not having it, and then, you know, testing them after sexual transmission and see if they pick it up. Have they had enough time to even do that study? You know, I'm just saying, they're coming out sexually transmitted. You know, that covers a lot of bases. You see, so now when you see the disease, they say, well, maybe it wasn't the mosquito. It was sexually transmitted. I just don't know how they draw, you know, come to all these conclusions, except if there's another motive they have.
Okay, so
now I can get back to why people go to the hospital.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So I mentioned these are the reasons people go to the hospital. And the reason I bring it up is these are all things that are totally preventable, except for one, in my opinion. The cardiac arrhythmia is, well, you say, well, how are they preventable? Well, if you're looking at people's magnesium levels, their CoQ10 levels, making sure they're not taking medication that depletes their nutrient levels, that's what I'm talking about when I say preventable, congestive heart failure.
I just have a real quick question about the arrhythmias. Yeah. Does cortisol play a role in arrhythmias like that?
You know,
stress, and that's where my mind was going.
Well, yeah, stress, maybe not cortisol per se, but the other stress hormones.
Okay.
You know, adrenaline or the epinephrine.
And so with the way news is reported these days, many people are terribly stressed.
Oh, yeah. But stress definitely plays a role. Stress will cause your blood pressure to skyrocket. So, yes. So we have cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, and, of course, atherosclerosis, you know, heart attacks and strokes. So those are a lot of the reasons people go into the hospital. The one I said wasn't preventable so much. Well, it's not preventable by the doctor, is emphysema or COPD, because I think the majority of cases would be associated with smoking. That's up to the individual.
Okay, what about workplace exposures to
secondhand smoke too?
Okay, but I'm thinking of chemicals and dust and so on.
Yeah, if you're in that kind of environment, that could play a role as well. Just before the break, and then you have people going in because of diabetes, infection. The most common reason to go into the hospital, though, believe it or not, were medication problems. That was almost 2 million hospitalizations. And then when we come back, I want to see if we can draw some common denominators between all these conditions and what you can check for to lower your risk of these problems.
And stay tuned, because we will have the answers to that. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. It's Monday morning, and we have the kind of information you need to stay healthy. And isn't that our goal, all of us? We want to support the function of every organ, every system of our body. Dr. Slavin?
So before the break, we were saying, you know, the reasons why people go into the hospital. The majority of them are related to your heart, some to your lungs, and but the most hospital admissions were from medication problems. 1.9 million hospitalizations due to medication problems. But here's something else that was a real eye-opener. Because the obvious follow-up of being admitted to the hospital for these problems is what you die from. And that's the tough one to find.
Wow. Okay.
And the reason I say that's a tough one, because the third leading cause of death related to hospital admissions were hospital errors. You know, hospital errors, meaning avoidable deaths. So you went into the hospital for one thing, and you died from something else.
And on the death certificate, what might it read, Dr. Slavin?
You know,
it wasn't going to say hospital error.
No, it'll never say that. I doubt that many of our listeners have seen death certificates. But the way it works on a death certificate, they usually say, you know, death due to... But then they give you line one, line two, line three. So you say, okay, patient died of a cardiac arrest due to, maybe you could say congestive heart failure, and then you could say due to. Well, not, you know, you don't have to go all, but they usually ask for that. If you just say cardiac arrest, that's really not good enough because everybody either dies of a cardiac arrest or a pulmonary arrest. So we talked about the heart. So what do we want to make sure of when it comes to the heart? At least two common deficiencies that I see all the time, if you only test for it, is magnesium and CoQ10. I mean, two simple things to check for. There are a lot of other things, of course, but two simple things you could look for.
Recent information that was published, Dr. Slavin was talking about the role of vitamin D and that role played with regard to heart health. And so it's becoming more and more common to have vitamin D tested. But unfortunately, the range 30 to 100, so many people are in the very, very low 30s and their doctor tells them, oh, yes, you're in range, you're good, no problem. And people go away from that conversation with a false sense of security that the vitamin D is doing its job when indeed it's far from an optimal level.
So, I mean, those are two simple things to check for. Diabetes, people go into the hospital for diabetes. Why isn't more being done to prevent diabetes? Now, diabetes...
encompasses
two types. One is you have insulin dependent, which makes up only about 10% of diabetics. And then you have the non-insulin dependent or adult onset, which is now
even type 2.
Or now it's even found in younger ages, teenage onset.
Right.
Which is type 2. And then before you have that, you have pre-diabetes or insulin resistance. And that's the time when you should check for it. Now, what does insulin resistance mean? It means you're having an elevated insulin level, which is necessary to control your blood sugar. So before the blood sugar goes up, your insulin levels are high. And high insulin levels lead to problems. And
okay, so what might some of the sensations a person would experience when their insulin level was too high?
Well, you know what? You may not experience anything. That's the real issue.
It was a trick question.
Yeah. You won't know it. That's why you have to be tested. And the funny thing is, when you go to the government's website, they don't even mention testing for insulin levels. They mention testing your hemoglobin A1C. They mention doing a fasting glucose or an oral glucose tolerance test. But you can have all those in the normal range and still have an elevated insulin level.
So that insulin level elevation would be giving you maybe a 5 to 10 year window to begin making changes and prevent the absolute progression into diabetes?
It's going to be an earlier warning sign than checking the glucose. So I'm really surprised they don't mention that. You know, when they, especially they're talking about insulin resistance, and they're not talking about checking insulin levels. Very odd.
Okay, so what is the source of that information that they're checking for insulin levels?
National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases.
Okay, well.
It's a part of the National Institute of Health.
Unfortunately, those government organizations, as far as I have had information from them, the suggestions about diet are less than effective. In fact, they may even contribute to continuing down the road to full-blown diabetes.
Now, here are just, you know, I mean, not everything on their website talking about this is inaccurate. It's not, and it's not that it's inaccurate. That's just an omission that I think would be important. So here are some of the other signs of insulin resistance.
Okay, here's the question. Uh-huh. If they know about insulin resistance, how is it that that isn't a medical approach, that they deal with they know about insulin resistance, but they haven't kind of gone down that pharmaceutical road? Okay, you are insulin resistant. No, we don't know.
Well, they don't have a drug for that. That's
right,
why.
Right.
They have a drug to lower your glucose. What are the drugs that are used to lower glucose? They tend to raise insulin levels. Sometimes they say they improve insulin sensitivity. Not sure about that, but they definitely raise insulin levels. So here's what insulin does. It number one, it's a hormone, and it's necessary in order for your body to utilize blood sugar for energy. If you can't utilize it, if your insulin levels aren't right, then your body's going to start storing energy in the form of fat. So this is why high insulin levels or insulin resistance is associated with the weight gain.
So we could extrapolate that the United States is a nation of insulin resistant citizens.
I'm wondering, maybe the reason they don't want to check is because you might find everybody, or a lot of people are. So here's what they're saying. You look at the A1C, hemoglobin A1C above 6, is a risk factor, a low HDL, high triglycerides. If you have a parent or sibling with diabetes or a body mass index greater than 35. But why do all that? Just check your insulin level, fasting insulin level. If it's higher than, you know, again, the range is very broad. You really want it to be in the optimum range. And then the solution, see, this is probably why they don't get into it, because the solution is not a medication. It's a lifestyle change. And all you have to do is start exercising more, pay attention to what you're eating, meaning cutting back on the carbs again. You know, that's the recommendation that's appropriate for any illness you're trying to prevent. cut back on the carbs. We're seeing in every situation, carbohydrates play a negative role in that condition.
Well, it's very, very interesting. I wonder how many members of the board of directors of General Mills, Kellogg's, and the other big grocery manufacturers sit on the boards of directors of the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies. How interactive is that big multinational corporation board of directors interchangeable? Because the food that is put into the grocery stores is a direct path into insulin resistance. You mentioned, Dr. Slavin, that insulin is a hormone, and I think that people might think of insulin as a relatively benign hormone. And the truth of the matter is insulin resistance and the accumulation, high levels of insulin in an individual's body can very much translate to organ damage. You're going to see damage to the kidneys, damage to the circulatory system, damage to the eyes, and ultimately to the brain. So, you know, people don't necessarily get that part of the information. It's a very, very delicate balance to achieve effective insulin function within your body, no overproduction of insulin, and you achieve that by choosing different foods than people typically are going to find in the grocery stores.
Now, we mentioned that exercise and changing your dietary habits play a role. And they tested that. They did a study, and they found that people reduced their risk of developing diabetes by 34% by changing their diet and exercising more. Now, in the group of people over the age of 60, they had even a greater benefit with exercise and dietary changes. They reduced their risk of developing diabetes by 49%. And participants in the lifestyle change group also had fewer heart and blood vessel disease risk factors, including a lowered blood pressure, lowered triglycerides. Even though, here's the interesting part, even though they took fewer medications to control their heart risk. In other words, without the medications, they were doing better. Now, one of the medications they're saying seem to reduce a person's risk of developing diabetes, which is kind of strange when you use the criteria of an elevated blood sugar. So they said, well, if you took metformin, you didn't develop diabetes by that criteria, of course, because it's lowering your blood sugar. Doesn't make too much sense. But I know a lot of people want to take metformin for preventive purposes. And when we come back, I'll give you a few reasons not to.
Okay. Very important information. So stay tuned. You are listening to Natural Doc Radio with Dr. Herb Slavin and me, Janet Zimbarelli. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world, That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we are talking about ways to stay out of the hospital, ways to keep your blood sugar in the normal range, ways to stay healthy. Dr. Slavin?
And we were talking about prediabetes or insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome. It really referred to the same condition. So lifestyle, and meaning dietary changes and exercise. And for exercise, they said it just takes walking for about 30 minutes 5 days a week. That doesn't mean you can't do other exercise, but you just need to put something like that into your routine. But here's why I don't like metformin. The common reactions associated with metformin, and this is published data, diarrhea, nausea, digestion problems, generalized weakness, indigestion, abdominal discomfort, lack of appetite, headache, metallic taste, rash. But here's the interesting thing, too, and I'm not sure. Well, ovulation induction, meaning stimulates ovulation. Now, you have to remember, too, that polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, is associated with insulin resistance. So that may be, so when you correct the problem, maybe it improves that issue as well.
Hormone balancing other hormones by establishing a balance with the insulin through metformin.
And then the more serious problems associated with metformin are lactic acidosis and anemia, or megaloblastic anemia. So, I mean, you could have some real serious problems. So I'm sure there are some listeners taking metformin. All that means is you want to check your lab work. You don't have to check a lot of lab work when you're taking the drug, just a CBC and a chem panel. You know, I would, you know, for a patient of mine, probably check them on a monthly basis. You know, a lot of times I think doctors will write a script out for, I don't know, 6 months at a time, maybe longer, and they never check the patient. So this is why people wind up in a hospital. They don't get checked. We mentioned 2 million hospitalizations due to drug reactions because they're not being followed up closely enough by their physician.
Might that have to do with their terms of insurance, that maybe their hospital or rather their doctor's visits are not necessarily covered any more frequently than every 6 months, that the follow-up routine is 6 months?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say something like that, because I think you've got a good point there. But interestingly, some insurances patients come in with, they say, my insurance covers wellness visits, but if I'm sick, it doesn't cover that. That's what they say. I guess you have to get sick enough to go in a hospital, and then they might cover it. But the other issue these days is that the patient's deductibles are so big that they're avoiding it on their own. But I think you do it at your own risk.
Well, but you do it out of pocket.
Yeah.
And I don't know if doctors make an adjustment with regard to the fee for an office visit when the patient is dealing with a huge deductible and is paying for the visit out of pocket.
No, usually not. Let me just say this. If a doctor's office is accepting insurance as their payment, they've already given, more than a 50% discount on the usual office visit fee. So, I mean, it's hard to discount anymore. Why even stay in business then? You know?
Wow.
You know, you have overhead. You just can't, do it. So here's the point we're leading to. So we can, advanced medical testing centers can offer some of these tests that you can pay for on your own, skip the insurance at a very affordable price, because when you cut out all the middlemen, price comes way down for these tests.
Excellent, excellent information. Now, I have to take a couple steps back, and I want to ask Dr. Slavin what you think of this viewpoint. What about seriously supporting an individual's digestive tract using very, very high quality digestive enzymes and probiotics, and in that way supporting the production, not supporting the production of insulin, but rather supporting normalizing the production and utilization of insulin?
There have been some connections recently made between the microbiome and weight. And I think when you talk about the connection, there has to be a component where insulin is interacting here. So I don't know if they know yet the precise connection. They say, well, if you have these certain bacteria growing in your gut, you're going to tend to be thinner. And if you have different bacteria, you tend to be heavier. And how do they know this? When they gave a heavy person a fecal transplant from their daughter who was skinny, the heavy person lost weight, and they've seen the reverse. When they got a fecal transplant from a heavy person, they tend to gain weight. So that's how they observe that the gut plays a role in your weight.
Here's my line of thinking, that possibly certain cravings for high carb foods, starchy carbs, processed carbs, might be related in some way, I can't necessarily explain it, to the inability to really break down those foods and reduce cravings. Certainly optimizing the microbiome is going to be associated with reducing cravings. Establishing a mineral balance is critical with regard to reducing cravings. So that whole digestive process, if you're not absorbing your minerals, you're at a disadvantage right there. If your microbiome has been disturbed because of exposure to antibiotics, and you always say, Dr. Slavin, how do you get antibiotics without a prescription? You just eat commercial animal source foods. So I have as my viewpoint dealing with people who are shown to be on the road to developing diabetes, that very, very much their digestive system has to be supported.
And I think not just for that condition, I think for every condition. I mean,
true.
I mean, you have to develop a different mindset where you don't think about conditions. You think about the body function. Is your body functioning optimally? What does that mean? That means you're doing what's right for your digestive tract, your cardiovascular system, for your brain, your neurological system, your pulmonary system. I mean, that's what your body is made up of. And it's not that difficult, because you don't have to remember a lot of things, because what you do that's good for your brain is going to be good for the rest of your body too. So what does that mean? You have to eat right. You have to exercise. You always come back to all the same things. You have to make sure your nutrient levels aren't deficient. You know, so we mentioned earlier magnesium and CoQ10, but vitamin D. And then you have a bunch of other ones, zinc, copper,
Many people are deficient in selenium? How many people are deficient in chromium, vanadium? Mm-hmm. They might never have had those nutrient minerals cross their consciousness.
And also omega-3 levels. You know, these are things we test routinely. And they're available. If your doctor's not doing it and you want to do it on your own, you know, advanced medical testing centers can do that for you for a much lower price. You see, this is the advantage. You go to Quest or LabCorp, I mean, it's going to be high. And, you know, you can compare prices all day long. Advanced medical testing centers will always be less.
I sent someone for testing for T3, T4, TSH, free T3, and thyroid antibodies, and they came back to me and said they were very sorry, but they were not going to be able to do the test because the price quoted to them from one of those mainstream laboratories was out of their economic range.
Yeah, I see that. And the how do we know? Because patients, sometimes because of their insurance, we have to send it to Quest or LabCorp, which is something wrong. I think
restraint of trade.
That's where I started thinking the system is rigged. When you have insurance and then they're dictating where you send it to, and not because they're less money. I mean, they made a deal with the labs, but the other labs would accept the same payment that the insurance is paying Quest or LabCorp. So there's something else going on there. But here's the problem, and this is what they love, is when your insurance doesn't pay for it, they will send you an astronomical bill for something. And that's how we know what they're charging for these prices, when AMTC, Advanced Medical Testing Centers, charge much less. No bills, you just know exactly up front what you're getting into. I think to stay healthy, here's the problem in a nutshell. The reason I spoke about all the reasons people go into the hospital is they're all preventable reasons if you were being monitored closely enough, but because your insurance isn't going to cover it, therefore the doctor says, well, I can't see you that often. The insurance isn't covering it, and he doesn't want to get rejected, or even worse yet, what happens to doctors when they take insurances, the insurance company will pay the doctor and then ask for the money back later on. I mean, that happens too.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. People
don't know.
And the insurance company will make up a reason. Well, you didn't put the right diagnosis in, or you're seeing them too often, but never once does the insurance company send someone down to examine that patient that the doctor's trying to take care of. So
it might be someone sitting at a desk without any medical knowledge.
Well, they have a little medical knowledge. Usually they're a nurse.
Okay. Some medical knowledge, but no contact with the patient.
Exactly. No contact with the patient. So how do they know what's going on? I'll give you an example. I think I spoke about this before. I had a patient with severe knee pain. So I sent him for an MRI of the knees, because that's the best test to see what's going on with the joint. So they go for the MRI, and they didn't do it because the insurance denied it. They said, you have to get x-rays of the knee first. Okay, so we got x-rays of the knee first, showed severe joint disease. So I said, okay, now let's get the MRI. Send them for the MRI. They denied it. They said, you have to go through physical therapy first.
Wow.
So you sent them for physical therapy, which didn't make their knee pain any better. Finally got the MRIs, and then they had both knees replaced, because that's how bad the disease was. But this whole process took over a year to go through. It was ridiculous, but this is what insurance companies are doing.
So instead of your doctor making the informed medical decisions for your well-being, we have people at a distance working for insurance companies making your health decisions. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimrelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we're here with the kind of information you need every day to inspire you to take better care of yourself.
Now, I have another story. This is another insurance story. A patient comes in with mastitis, inflammation of the breast. Extremely painful condition. Sometimes it could be associated with breast cancer. You don't know. It could be just an infection, but you don't know. So you have to do a test. But just think about all you women listening there. If you've ever had an infection on your skin, it's very painful, very tender. So I said, well, let's get an MRI because you don't want to put the breast in a vise. You know,
For sure, you don't want to do that.
If it's an infection, you don't want to risk spreading it, number one, but it's painful.
And the reason not to do a thermography is because you already have inflammation,
right.
And it's going to show that heat.
So they said, okay, you'll have to write a letter and we'll take it under advisement. And I said, no, this is a problem right now. We have to take care of it. Well, luckily the patient had other insurance that she was able to use to get the MRI. And here's the problem, too, is sometimes you just, you know, reach into your pocket and do what's best for your health. Don't just say, well, I'm not doing it because my insurance won't cover it. So she got the MRI done in a timely fashion. But the other way would have been get a mammogram, which was impossible. Even an ultrasound would be too painful to put, you know, press the transducer over the infected area. So I'm just saying these insurances are out of control. They shouldn't be dictating what's best for the patient, especially without seeing the patient. It's really unbelievable. It's almost the same as winning a primary or a caucus without anybody voting. You know, the voters didn't have a choice. So nobody, you know, but somebody, you know, got the delegates. I mean, here the insurance companies are telling the doctors what to do, but they're not looking at the patient.
And if our listeners thinking that we are crossing over into a political show here, no, we're not crossing over. We have always been very much a political show because so much of what we discuss, we are at the end point. However, the starting point is with the political atmosphere, then the politicians supporting certain corporations that produce vaccines, corporations that produce pharmaceuticals, corporations that own hospitals, and the list goes on. And so very, very important to understand where your vote is being placed. And is the candidate you're supporting very, very much a supporter of big corporations at the risk of your individual well-being? Very important information.
I remember 8 years ago, one of the slogans for the campaign was transparency. And that's the thing we have least of, not just in government, but in healthcare. There is no transparency. How do they come to the conclusions they come to? Where's the information? If you ever try to look up this stuff, you can't find it. Give me the information. How many people actually develop the flu? I'll give you another.
We talk about this all the time, and you can't find it.
There was, on the news today, talking about the deaths from heroin and prescription drugs, and they lump them together.
Ooh.
And you can't tell, you know, what's what. You know, I have a theory on this. The reason more and more people using heroin is because the DEA and the FDA have clamped down on the accessibility to getting controlled pain medication, and controlled, you can control the dose, you can monitor it. Now people are self-medicating, and they're going out to get what they can get to control their pain, and they're running into problems. No, clearly some of them are probably using it for recreational purposes, but I don't think they're all doing it that way. I think people are looking for pain relief and they can't get it through their physician.
Well, how about the political lobby that has kept CBD and marijuana out of the hands of the population?
I think Pennsylvania just passed a law today.
Yes, they did. Yes,
to approve medical marijuana.
The 24th state to do that. So,
And yet the federal government hasn't changed their position on it, so it's still illegal. So, you know, there's a little conflict going on there. Why doesn't the federal government stay out of it? It's not their role. It's a state right. The role of the federal government is national security. You know, focus on that. You know, keep the country safe, secure the borders. That's a political statement, isn't it?
I think so.
You know, but I still...
I don't think too many people will be disagreeing with...
Because without borders, you don't have a country. To quote somebody.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I think that makes good sense. But, you know, that's the role of the federal government. That's what it was set up for. You know, the federal government didn't come first. It was... You had the 13 original colonies, and they created the federal government for the protection of the colonies of the new United States, and that's their role. And then they've taken more and more power to control more and more things, which translates into giving politicians more and more money instead of doing what's best for the voters. We got to wake up.
Okay, so the people who are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, I think that they're awake, Dr. Slavin, because they're very, very interested in supporting their good health, and they know that the information that we're going to present to them every day is meant to do just that without the focus of supporting big pharma or the national Grocers Association.
And I think the area that's entirely overlooked is wellness medicine, because it's not covered by insurance. If you go to your doctor and say, "Doc, I'm feeling great, just make sure everything's okay," he says, "I don't know what to do," because he's trained to prescribe drugs. He doesn't know how to keep you healthy.
Okay, but it's kind of like the original 13 colonies and then the federal government being created. The thing is, individual, in my opinion, does have to play a very, very big role in supporting their own wellness, that it isn't necessarily in the venue, certainly as the doctors are trained now, but in the venue of how doctors practice medicine. So because they don't know about wellness, it's the individual. Who cares more about how your energy is, how good your sleep is? Who cares more how well your brain works?
Well, sometimes I say to a patient, "Why should I care more about your health than you do?" So the answer is, you know, some patients don't care about their health.
Well, but we have been, or I'm going to say the population has been misled into this viewpoint that I'm well until I have a chest pain, or I'm well until I have a skull-crushing headache. And that isn't the case. And you're going to support your wellness by the everyday choices that you make.
Well, think about this. If people went to the right physician, because the right physician meaning not someone that only knows how to prescribe drugs, but knows how to evaluate patients for wellness, not disease. So by wellness, you're looking at nutrient levels, lifestyle, exercise, all the things that could be measured to make sure that you're on the path of wellness, not disease. Eliminate a lot of the hospital need for hospitalizations. We mentioned 2 million hospitalizations a year just from drugs. You wouldn't have those 2 million.
Those hospitals will go broke, and then where are we going to go actually break our legs?
Right, that's the whole point. It's set up to make money.
Right.
And therefore, illnesses or the earliest stages of illnesses are ignored, so you can reach the point when you're sick enough to need drugs or hospitalization. So it's really only up to the individual to understand this and then take control for themselves And that's what we're trying to do, empower the individual.
Okay, and that's what's important in my view, that the individual take responsibility for supporting health, wellness, energy, all of those functions. And that education is the source of going down that correct health supporting path. And Dr. Slavin, we are almost out of time. And tomorrow, more information about staying out of the hospital?
Well, it's always about that. It's really not just staying out of the hospital. Maybe not needing your, you know, all the medications doctors are putting you on, but understanding why. Because when you understand what happens, you realize that you have total control over these things.
So maybe tomorrow we can talk about some of the more commonly prescribed medications and how to avoid the need for that prescription. You've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.